my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the dead dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to bring just a very short message, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. Pray. You know, I understand some are ill, some are not able to be here. Pray for those that are, and are able, that is, and are not. I have to tell you the truth. There's so many times that I know what the Lord wants me to do, and I rejoice in it. But I will admit to you the weakness of your pastor. There's times when I know what the Lord wants, and I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
It makes me feel sick to my stomach. That's because I dwell in the flesh, and you know, I know that. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As we get ready to take the Lord's Supper, First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9, he says, I'm sorry, I'm not even in the right one. Here we are. Verse 9. No. Verse 19. For there must be also heresies among you, that is, problems, schisms, related to doctrine, but it's not always like somebody, it is sometimes, but not always somebody teaching a false doctrine. Sometimes it is the disobedience to doctrine. They're not willing to do what God said. For if you love me, keep my commandments. Doesn't mean the people that don't keep the commandments definitely don't love him, but they're not acting like they do. There's times when all of us act like we don't. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, that's not deep the Lord's Supper. When there's schisms, when there's problems in church. For in eating every one, and we read this last week, taketh before the other his own supper. And the point here, though, that was literally being done is that they were thinking of themselves and not of others. Mm-hmm. Particularly at the time of the Lord's Supper, but the Lord's church is having that, the members of the Lord's church are to have that mind in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. That is, to put others, to make them as important. Now, the Bible says more important, but we're all doing pretty good if we can just make somebody as important as ourselves. What have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? So it's just when you put yourself in front of others, you harm those others, even if they don't need you. As we read, sometimes those that seem the least important are actually most important to our worship. Then I'm going to skip over the part that I'm going to read when we actually partake of the Lord's Supper in just a few moments. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. In other words, they are offending Christ. You can make up every excuse in the world. You've not thought of a single excuse I haven't thought of. I was the king of excuses. I mean, you know, I used to tell my mama when I'd get in trouble at school, well, I didn't rob a bank. And then, after I picked myself up off the floor, I realized that was the wrong tact to take. I never did learn my lesson, though. It seemed like I always misspoke. But I knew what was going on. I knew I was wrong. I then found out the way to make things the best was to say I was wrong. And, you know, and I don't want to do that anymore. And then, of course, my mama would always say, because she never wanted to let me get away with it completely, well, let's just see. And that, obviously, by my behavior, you know. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation. And that doesn't necessarily mean eternal, although, you know, if they're lost, it does, but if the Lord doesn't eventually save them. But damnation just means trouble, correction. It doesn't have to be eternal damnation to be correction. Because you can't... You know what hypocrisy is in the Lord's church? Hypocrisy is when somebody acts like there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing when there clearly is and they know there is. You've heard people say this. Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. Right there, you know they do. A, they know you think and know that it's wrong. And B, if they didn't know it was wrong, they wouldn't be trying to justify it. Not discerning the Lord's body. So, that means not appreciating their salvation, but it also means, remember, the bread is that communion first with the body of Christ and the wine with his blood. The Lord's Supper is also a remembrance and a communion with that loaf that you're a member of. That's why it's meaningless and wrong for anyone that's not a member of this church to take the Lord's Supper. It reminds us of our fellowship one with another, how we need and love each other. We all do wrong. This isn't saying, you know, if you've ever sinned, or if you haven't gone through every one of your sins and repented of it, and you missed one, then don't take the Lord's Supper. That's not what it's saying. But if you're doing wrong, you know it's wrong, and you're justifying it, and it is a habitual thing. You intend to continue it. That's the way you're going to live. Then the Bible says, don't take the Lord's Supper. Because you're offending against the very things the Lord's Supper reminds us of. Our unity and love for one another. Like I was talking about in forsaking the assembly. Some of the habitual forsaking, neglecting of the worship together. But that's true of anything that would be unworthy. It is the habitual and the intended wrongdoing, and I just don't care. And I'm going to keep doing it. That's taking it unworthily. And of course, also being lost or, you know, not being a member of the church. But, you know, no one that's not a member of this church and say, well, there could be somebody that's a member of this church that says they're saved and they're not. Well, that's between them and God. I mean, the Bible does say to make your calling and election sure. That doesn't mean, you know, that you do something to be saved. It means, yeah, you need to know that you're the Lord's. And you need to know that you are in a place in your life where you want to serve the Lord in His church. That's what it means. That's all that makes you worthy. And that doesn't mean you're good. It just means that you're in a place where you can take the Lord's Supper. You say, well, I just don't think I'm, you know, I've got a problem here. I've got a problem. Well, join the club. Yeah. But it is, again, I'll repeat this, it is the habitual doing of wrong in that I know this is wrong and I just don't care and I'm going to make that my lifestyle and I'm not going to stop. That's, you just can't take the Lord's Supper in that condition. That's why sometimes it is necessary to talk to somebody and say, you know, this has been your lifestyle, and do you recognize it's wrong, and do you want to stop doing it? So, what I'm going to do now is we'll have just a hymn of invitation, just one verse. And it's not like, oh, he's talking to me. I don't. when no one comes forward before the church, I assume that everyone is gone in their own heart before the Lord. And don't think I haven't had to go before the Lord in preparing for the Lord's Supper in my heart and say, you know, Lord, I don't want to think this way about people. Some of you know that somebody hit my truck this week, and they didn't leave a note. I didn't see them. Nobody saw them. And the lady and the insurance lady said, well, one of the questions they have to go through was, was there damage to the other vehicle? And she said, of course, I know you don't know. So that's what I'm putting down. I just have to ask that question. You don't know because they took off. Hit and run. And I said, would it be unkind if I said, I hope there is a little? And I was joking. She said, no, not at all. But the fact is, and then I texted a couple of men about it and said, you know, this had happened, and I'd get some ideas about the truck fixed. And I said, you know, I'd like to be angry with that person. I really would. I want to be angry with that person. But the preacher last week, he preached on that. So, we all have to have our hearts right. And again, it is not a doing of something wrong. Because then nobody could ever take the Lord's Supper. It is the habitual intent to do wrong, and I just don't care. I'm going to do this. I know it's wrong. I'm going to tell everybody I don't think there's anything wrong with it, or it's not that big of a deal, or whatever. But I know it's wrong. I'm going to do it anyway. And I just don't care. And I know we have 1,000 excuses. But excuses are like noses. Everybody's got one. The thing is, we all actually have a lot more than one. We all have, you know, it's like that song, they can't go to church because crowds make them nervous, but they can go to the ball game. You know, makes them relax there. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. First we'll have a hymn of invitation. We'll go to the Lord, and then we'll actually partake of the Lord's Supper. Brother, you can go ahead and shut it off. And those that have been on Facebook with us, we're glad you were here, and we'll see you see you Wednesday.
We'll sing one verse, page 166. Page 166.
Trust Him more.